the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
It's the radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike. Dr. Michael Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, on the air every week with us, with you, spreading the good word about eating well, feeling great, looking, being healthy. And I'm Joe Galewski. Thanks for listening to the show today. Dr. Mike on the phone at 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com is the email address, Youdocs @gmail.com. In this hour, Dr. Gary Ginsberg at 20 after the hour, a news item on bottled water. Dr. Ginsberg wants to say
it's pretty amazing, the finding he has on bottled water, Joe. So people should stay tuned or come back, even if they want to take a quick water break themselves. But make sure they come back at 17 after the hour for Gary Ginsberg.
Yes, sir. E-cigarettes might be something he wants to talk about today. Electric buses in Manhattan. What is going on with that? Are they better? Is it obviously better for the environment? Is it a better ride? I would wonder if it'd be a better ride. And laptop EMFs are in Dr. Gary Ginsberg's agenda today. Now, 35 after
And this
hour.
Actually has changed the way I use my laptop on planes. Every now and then I was using it on my lap. No longer after reading what Gary wrote.
Dr. Ginsberg at 20 after the hour. Straight Talk from the Docs at 35 past with Dr. Arthur Perry. What are discussion points today?
Well, believe it or not, Botox hadn't been approved for crow's feet, but now is. And Arthur is going to talk about what that means for the rest of us. So that's one of the two subjects. The other one is the warts. Should you ever get them treated, or should you just let them fall out? And Bridget has now got a wart on her hand and is very interested in this topic.
I have two on my finger.
Did you touch a frog or something? Is that true? Remember we were kids?
I think she got kissed by a frog.
Got kissed by a frog. How romantic.
Possibly. I actually caught one a few weeks ago, a toad.
A toad.
All right, so Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 after the hour. Thanks to all our affiliates all over the country for carrying this show on Radio MD, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And catch us on iHeartRadio Talk. You can get your favorite shows and personalities and hear what's going on in the world of health today at Radio MD and or you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. And you can go to the web, click on Talk in the main menu, then search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. iHeartRadio Talk. Revolutionary in getting information on this show and news and information from just about all over the world, and we're really proud to be part of that way of information. Let's continue on with some of the stories of the week. One that's interesting to me, and I know it is to you, you guys probably, is the one that has to deal with obese cancer patients and chemotherapy treatments. What are the details?
Well, this is really interesting. I'm going to let Bridget talk because she said this is one of her favorite stories. But what is so interesting is we normally dose, that is, give doses of drugs based on your lean body weight. That is, the fat stores we've always assumed will essentially saturate with the drug. And it really is the lean body weight that most drugs, that is, lean body weight is in the water part of your system. And so we've always given drugs based on your lean body weight. But this study indicates that if you got, for example, 20% less chemotherapy for many cancers, chemotherapeutic agent than you should have, because they should have been really based on your obese weight, not your lean body weight, they would be 50% less effective. And that's what's happened, that we're giving about 20% inadequate doses to people who are overweight or obese with cancer. And that's a common thing. Mm-hmm. And that means we're inadequately treated, a bunch of them. Now, Bridget, I've given the facts. This is one of your favorite stories. So I've taken a lot of your, if you will, gunpowder away.
Okay. Well, in the study that they just released actually found that 40% of obese cancer patients have been getting less than 85% of the right dose for their size. And it's because doctors, as Dr. Royzen said, they calculate the patient's chemotherapy need based on ideal body weight, or they feel that it should be capped because they're afraid that the patient won't be able to tolerate it because it's such a large amount of chemotherapy that larger patients need. So they're now coming out, the American Society of Clinical Oncology is stating that they think that it's contributed to a lot of patients being mistreated or undertreated, and that it's led to the higher mortality and recurrence rates in obese patients that have cancer. So basically, after reading the story, what I took from it was that it's really important to ask your doctor, if you're being treated for cancer, about the dose that they're giving you and make sure that they're fully dosing you, and that if they aren't, that they have good reason not to, that maybe it has something to do with another complication. Like, for obese patients, if they also have diabetes and heart disease, then there's more things to take into consideration, and maybe a lower dosage is acceptable for you. But if it's just because you're obese, then it's definitely a good conversation to have with your doctor.
Yeah, I think that you've emphasized a point that's really important. That is, the reason we don't give more of any one drug is because you get more side effects the more dose you give. So we always have been giving the lowest drug that we, the lowest amount of a drug, especially of chemotherapeutic agents, that we think is effective, and that's to decrease side effects, and especially of the chemotherapeutic agents, which have almost always very potent side effects.
And the story, I think it was from the New York Times that I read, they talked about the one individual patient in particular that they, I also watched a video on her, and they were saying how they started her on such a high dose of the chemotherapy, and then she was getting high fever and nausea, and that then she had to go in a few separate times, and they eventually reduced the amount of chemotherapy that they were giving her. But like she said, she'd rather have a fever and nausea and have to go into the hospital and get it adjusted to a lower dose than to not get enough and end up dying of cancer.
Okay, can we, before the break, and Dr. Ginsberg, can we talk about energy drinks before the break? And
yeah, this is another one of Bridget's favorites, but it's also one of my favorite. That is the energy drinks, by not selling it as a supplement.
Monster.
But by selling it as a beverage, don't have to report those people who complain, who die or have serious side effects from the energy drinks. My view on this is, if you want something for an energy pickup, don't pick up one of the energy drinks. They have crazy amounts of vitamins and amino acids if you look at them from a rational sense, at least in my humble opinion. They have caffeine in them and water. Those are the good things. Everything else, whether it's the sugar, which some of them have, or whether it's the vitamins that some of them have, or whether it's the amino acids that some of them have, all of those can have side effects that you don't want. So what should you have? Either caffeine in coffee or caffeine in caffeinated water. If you want it, last just as long. The 5-hour advertisement, at least I've not seen any data, nor can I find any published data, that that's a real and not a psychological effect by just getting something with that name. So enjoy your coffee. It does lower the risk of 8 important cancers, lowers the risk of Parkinson's and, if you will, Alzheimer's disease and some other things like diabetes. And whether you get it in caffeinated water or coffee or tea, just enjoy it that way.
Youdocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Dr. Gary Ginsberg. Next, an interesting story about bottled water. Interesting story about e-cigarettes. Electric buses in Manhattan and the right way to use your laptop. What's toxic? What's not? Dr. Gary Ginsberg up next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Royzen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Sean Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes, March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julianne and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 past the hour, straight talk from the docs. Now it's time for What's Toxic and What's Not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg every week at this time on the show. Dr. Mike, what do you like this week from Dr. G?
I want to hear about what's toxic in bottled water, if anything.
Okay, sure, guys. You know, all four of my stories tonight are e-stories, EMF, e-cigarettes, e-buses, and estrogenic chemicals in bottled water. which is what Mike was just referring to. So I'll start with that. And some German researchers looked at 18 different brands of bottled water, and they did these what we call bioassays, where they see if the water itself, compared to sort of regular tap water, in these 18 brands, will the water make the cells in culture do similar things that would hormones make them do, like estrogen or androgenic compounds? They, sure enough, they found endocrine-disrupting activity in the 18 bottled waters. So then the big mystery, the big hunt was, well, what are the chemicals and how are they getting into the water? And so they found 24,000 different chemicals that they could detect at nano levels in these different bottled waters. And they boiled the activity through a series of bioassays and refinements of their bioassays and methods. They narrowed it down to one chemical, diethyl hexyl fumarate, a known estrogenic chemical that was the common link between the 18 different bottled waters that was responsible for this endocrine-disrupting activity. And they published this, and it looks like it's a landmark kind of study to see what can be in bottled water that's problematical. Now, we don't have a full risk assessment on it to know, are the levels that they found going to be a problem if you drink half a bottle of water, a full bottle, five bottles? How much water do you need to drink a day for this to have an effect in your body? But this chemical, diethyl hexyl fumarate, is now on everybody's watch list because of this study.
And where does it come from in the bottle? Is it from the bottle? Is it from the water? Where is it?
No, from the bottle. You know, these are plasticizers, and it's a plasticizer, and it will leach out from the water sitting around, especially at higher temperature. So, you know, if that bottle, let's say that case of water was sitting in some warehouse, and typically these warehouses are not cooled and heated, they're just, you know, ambient temperature. So it could be sitting on a hot truck or sitting in a hot warehouse before it gets to you. So that's plenty of leach time for these plasticizers to get into the water. Unlike your fresh tap water, which is not sitting around long enough for it to leach anything into your water. So we always say, use your tap water. Don't drink out of bottled water. It's a huge environmental issue. You know, the plastic bottles are an issue. The water sitting around in bottles is an issue. The transportation that it takes to get that water to you is an environmental issue. All of that.
What's the negative effect on the body? You're talking about environmental issues. What's the negative effect on the body by drinking water out of these bottles?
Well, the suggestion from this German research is that you would have too much, you'd have extra dose of estrogen, so it might, for example, promote breast cancer. I'm not saying that we have cause and effect for that, but that's the direction the research is now going to turn.
Okay, e-cigarettes, Dr. G, what's the story about those?
Well, this is becoming a very large market share now, that e-cigarettes are now crossing the billion-dollar threshold in sales in the U.S. Some of the major cigarette companies are now diversifying and getting into the e-cigarette market. So it's getting so big that FDA can't ignore it, and they're looking at banning e-cigarette marketing online, which is particularly targeting youth. So on the one hand, e-cigarettes can be seen as, and by the way, I'll just define it for those who are not aware of what an e-cigarette is. E-cigarettes are a delivery device for nicotine, but you don't have tobacco in this cigarette. It's just a little compartment of liquid nicotine that through a battery heats it up, turns it into vapor, so you're inhaling vaporous nicotine. Your exhalation is not all the side stream smoke. It's much less invasive to your people around you. Some places allow e-cigarettes indoors. I've heard of an airline that allows e-cigarettes on board. So it's sort of revolutionizing the whole area of, and the whole, all of its marketing of nicotine and cigarette-based products. The concern is, two concerns. One is that we may be addicting a whole generation of youth, because it's trendy, it's youthful. to nicotine, and will this just be a gateway to then smoking cigarettes? So that's one concern. The other
and, in fact, the fastest increasing group of consumers is, yeah, in fact, the kids between the ages of 14 and 16.
Yeah, which is exactly what the big cigarette makers might be interested in getting the new consumer. And the other concern is that some of the studies are showing that even though it's less carcinogenic than classical tobacco smoke, there are still plenty of carcinogenic elements when you heat this up, because it's got flavors, it's got the nicotine, there's material that can be converted, combusted into carcinogenic ingredients. So it's not benign, besides the addictive component.
Now, Dr. Mike Gary says he's using his laptop differently because of what you have to talk about here.
Yeah, all right. So laptop sounds like you should put it on your lap when you're using it. But new research out of Italy, and it's always been a wonder of mine, well, how much EMF radiation is one getting by having this device so close? And right up close to, you know, sensitive organs like your reproductive organs. Well, Italian researchers investigated this and found relatively high levels, like on the order of 50 milligauss, given off by the laptop, heating up local tissues. They analyzed what the potential risks were during pregnancy because, you know, the fetus is growing right on that belly. And their conclusion was, and this research was published in a reproductive journal, not a good idea, that put the laptop on a desk, don't put it on your lap, and we should rename it. Instead of it being called a laptop, it should be called a desktop. Well, not desktop, because there's other computers by that name, but we should be not calling it a laptop and not encourage people to put it on their lap, because, again, that direct skin, body to contact with the laptop is putting that EMF field directly into the body, and it could be for long periods of time. You know, when you use a hairdryer, that is significant amounts of EMF, milligauss, but it's pretty brief exposure. And it's to your head, not necessarily to the reproductive tissues. So this is something that's emerging, and right now, as a precaution, better to put it on the desk, not to put it directly on your lap. Brief periods, not a big deal, but not for anything more than 10 or 15 minutes.
So, Mike, that's how you use your laptop now?
I try and put it, especially on airplanes, I now put it on that tray, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, rather than ever putting it on my lap. And when they say, fold up your tray, I ignore them.
You're always the one that they have to raise their finger at, huh?
Your flight is delayed.
Well, they tend not to do that because I'm global service now. You know, they've made me global service on more than one airline. So the stewardesses all come over and want to make sure I'm happy. And so they don't hassle you. They just say, you'll get that up by the time we get in the air, won't
they
you?
They know you. They know you too well. That's Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic? What's not? What's toxic.com is his website. udocs@gmail.com. UDOCS@gmail.com. Dr. Arthur Perry is next. It's a call straight talk from the docs right after the break on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world.
It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
And now, back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. Arthur, Bridget has a new wart on her finger here.
Two of them.
Two of them. And wants to know, should she treat it and with what? I'm used to treating them by freezing them with liquid nitrogen.
I lost two of your words there.
Say it again.
What did Bridget do to her finger? I'm sorry.
She's got two warts.
On my finger. On my pointer finger.
On her first finger. She caught a toad last week, she says. That's actually what she said. But she's got two warts on that finger and wants to know, should she treat it or not?
Well, Bridget, now being that you're 16 years old, how long have you had these things?
Well, I had them about a year ago, and then I took salicylic acid and rubbed a Q-tip on it with the salicylic acid. It was like 20% salicylic acid or something. So then they both peeled off. But recently they came back.
In the same place?
Yeah, it's the same warts.
She thinks they're the same warts. Are they
and
the same warts?
Do you know why they came back, Bridget?
Maybe the toad. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I don't know. They
probably are. Remember that these are caused by a virus. So, Mike, you know, for listeners out there, there's a lot of things that grow on our skin, right? I mean, it's a veritable zoo on our skin. We've got everything. Moles and seborrheic keratosis and skin tags and all sorts of things, brown spots, freckles, and we get warts. But warts are caused by a virus called
the papillomavirus. Now, Mike, as an aside, before we get into the whole wart discussion, do you think that possibly with all these teenagers and children getting the vaccine for human papillomavirus, do you think we'll see less warts?
I would. It's a different organism, so my guess is no.
You know, I don't know, because with warts, there
is it a cross?
Are,
is there some cross sensitivity to this virus?
There, I believe there is, Mike. There's about 10 different strains of the human papillomavirus that cause warts. You know, there's actually 100 different strains out there, and about 10 of those commonly cause warts. And I do think there's some crossing over to the type that causes cancer, oral cancers and cervical cancers and things of that nature. So it will be interesting to see if there's any impact on it. But now back to you, Bridget.
Yes.
You have these warts. They're a nuisance, right?
Yeah, they're really gross.
Are they a nuisance to you?
Yeah,
yeah, they're gross. Do they hurt?
No.
You can't play with them. You know,
they don't hurt.
But luckily, I don't have a boyfriend that would be holding my hand or anything, because I feel like it would be gross to someone, you know.
All right. Well, you know, grossness aside, Bridget, these are viruses, and they're caused by viruses. And if you do manipulate them with your fingers, let's say you take your fingernail and you say, I'm going to get rid of this thing, I'm going to scratch it off, then you will get the virus underneath your nails. And when you scratch another part of your body, it is very likely that you will spread the virus. Mm-hmm. Very common. And in fact, one of the things that we see in the operating room is, and you know this, Mike, we see when we burn off certain types of warts, we actually can get these warts in the noses of surgeons and nurses and anesthesiologists in the operating room, which is exactly why the filters that we use in surgical masks are 0.1 micron. Because that's small enough to filter out
when we burn them off from getting it. It's a reason to freeze them, matter of fact, so you don't get them. But it's very hard to freeze the ones, obviously, in the vocal cord area.
Right. But it is interesting, Mike, because all the time here we'll be letting the listeners know sometimes what goes on in the operating room. I'm constantly scolding people in the operating room. Put your mask on properly. I want to see it move when you breathe, because it's uncomfortable for many people to have that mask on, right? And so many people sort of put it on, and not quite enough. But
that
it's
must
for
be an outpatient
ORs,
because in our ORs, everyone wears them just about perfectly.
Thank you, and I hope so. And you know, with me also, because I'm known in my operating room as the pain in the we won't say what, because I'm right. It's for the patient to prevent aerosolization of bacteria and virus into the air, and it's also for the protection of healthcare workers so we don't get things from patients. All right. Anyway, the question, we're getting off the subject here of your warts, Bridget. Warts can be treated in a number of ways. And the first question is, do we bother treating them at all? Because what you have had, which was a resolution of your wart and then it came back, is very, very common. And the reason we're talking about this today, there was a new publication that followed a group of 1,000 children, about 1,100 children in the Netherlands, which is different from Holland, by the way. I learned that a few weeks ago. In the Netherlands, they followed 1,100 children for 2 years, and it turns out that 65% of those children, the warts went away on their own with absolutely no treatment at all, with no scarring, by the way.
Wow.
So the question becomes, should we be treating these things? Because if you look at the types of treatments, Mike knows this, when there are so many different types of treatments, like literally dozens and dozens, he knows, and I know, that none are particularly effective. You know, some work some of the time, some work other times. We burn them off, we freeze them off, we use salicylic acid, we use the laser to destroy the blood supply. There's all sorts of things. There's chemotherapy that's used now. bleomycin to remove these warts. The bottom line is, if they really, really bother you, and if they've been there for, you know, a number of months, it's reasonable to destroy the warts. And just like Mike said, back in the old days, in the 70s, we burned those off. No one wants to burn them off anymore. We freeze them. That's a very, very common method. And it's pretty effective. About 50, 60, 70% are destroyed with two freezing treatments. And the way we do that, by the way, it's real simple. You come to the office. We have something called liquid nitrogen or another substance that's very, very cold. And we spray it on. And then the thing sort of falls off. And often in the first treatment, it just gets a lot smaller. And then we do it again. And we get right down to the bottom of the wart. And we kill all the virus. And it's gone. So if it bothers you, particularly ones on your feet, by the way.
So the freezing is really the impair. Freezing that I do or have done for treatment with patients is probably the most effective way.
I think so. It's the simplest way also, because although it's more costly, granted, than the salicylic acid, which you can do on your own, and a certain percentage of people, something in the 30-40% range, will respond well to just those pharmacy remedies where you go and buy that goo that has the salicylic acid and it kind of burns it off. You have to be very sure that it's a wart, by the way, and I would strongly recommend, you know, having someone, a nurse or a doctor, just eyeball it to make sure they're easy to diagnose. But what you don't want to do is use salicylic acid on, let's say, a mole because you're not sure. Then you can.
Yeah, they're warts.
Because that mole might not be a mole. Okay.
They're warts.
They're warts. We had a doctor. Oh, a doctor just looked at it. And
very intensely.
And so you're free to go ahead. You know, I would go to your neighborhood dermatologist or plastic surgeon and have a zap of the liquid nitrogen. That's my recommendation.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about Botox and its new approval for something that I thought it was well approved for, that is crow's feet and what it means to you. We're talking with the best in plastic surgery, one of the great distinguished consultants, Dr. Arthur Perry. And by the way, you can get Dr. Perry's recommendations for skin products at Dr. Perry's, PERRYS.com. He has his own line, and we should mention that. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual radio show.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now
at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don.
And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Here are the U-Docs, Dr. Michael Roizen and Dr. Arthur Perry.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on Radio MD. Stay well. Now, Arthur, I know you're probably not an expert on genital herpes, but there's a, while we were on break, we got a question on the email line. Anyone can send us email questions at udocs@gmail.com. If you're taking antiviral medication for herpes and you are also having sex, do you decrease the risk of transmission by taking the antiviral medication, and do you decrease it by 95% or more? Do you want to try that next week or 2 weeks from now rather than today?
I'll be the expert in 2 weeks, and I'll be giving an educated guess today.
Well, go ahead. So, we'll take the educated guess today, and then we'll do the real one in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think clearly the antivirals, the most common is Valtrex, where people take about every single day forever, clearly reduces the outbreaks. And it's during the outbreaks where there are open sores that a person is most infectious. And so my educated guess understanding the virus is that, yes, Valtrex will clearly decrease the chance of someone catching it from you. However, we all know that the best way to prevent that transmission is using a condom, because I think even if there's a little bit of virus, you can get the infection.
A vaccine, he asked also about from this. And I didn't know the answer.
I don't think there's a vaccine yet.
Tell me about this new Botox approval. Why would it not have already been approved for crow's feet?
Well, this is kind of a lesson for the world here about how the FDA works. You know, Botox was approved in... let me see if I can get this right. It was, I believe, was it 2001? I believe for the lines between the brows, the those vertical lines between the brows. You know, the ones that when you look at me, when I say something on the radio you don't like, you scowl and get those really deep lines, Mike. Those
absolutely
are the ones.
Absolutely. I mean, they're penetrating. Bridget, you don't have to agree with them and say I got those deep lines.
That's right. Look at this, because it's been a long time since I've done the Botox.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, so those were the lines.
And now rubbing
that,
them, and smoothing them
I
out.
I was not trying to agree.
Yeah, and frownies don't work, by the way. So it was 2002. I'm sorry, I was off by 1 year. 2002, FDA approved Botox for what's called the glabella. That's the fancy medical term for the lines between the region between the two brows, and we get those vertical lines. And we know what they're for. They have an evolutionary advantage. You just have to look at a dog that's eating to see those lines. When another animal comes near the dog, it telegraphs what's about to happen. If they come closer when they're eating, they're going to get bitten. But in our society, we're a friendly, happy society. We don't need those lines, right?
So absolutely not.
We Botox those. We Botox those. Now,
thank
here's what
God.
Happened. Right. When the FDA approved Botox for cosmetic reasons in 2002, it was approved, by the way, for non-cosmetic reasons many years before that. That is for twitching muscles and torticollis, which is a contracture of the muscles of the neck. But it was the cosmetic use in 2002. The reason it was approved for that specific use, the glabella, the lines between the eyes, is because the FDA looks at data that the pharmaceutical companies give them, and if the pharmaceutical company said we're going to ask for permission to for lines of the forehead and the glabella and the crow's feet and everywhere else, each of those areas, they would have to produce a lot of data, and the data costs a tremendous amount of money for the pharmaceutical company. So Allergan, which is the company that makes Botox, got permission in 2002 based on their studies to market Botox for the glabellar lines. Now, I and everyone else who does Botox has been using it off-label. That's the word, off-label. Completely legal, but not to the company. The company cannot advertise off-label uses. So off-label means I can take Botox, which is approved for those lines between the eyes, and use it anywhere in the body if I feel like it, without specific approval. And so the crow's feet and the horizontal lines of the brows, the bunny lines on the nose, very common areas that we Botox. Off-label use, if the company were to advertise, as of 3 weeks ago, the use of Botox for crow's feet, they would get a stiff penalty by the FDA, and a big fine and a censor. And if they did it repeatedly, they'd have their Botox pulled from the shelves. So they're under very strict rules by the FDA. So they went back and they did studies to show now, years later, that it does work. And they finally got approval on the crow's feet, which I call the robin's feet. It's a much nicer name. And so they got the approval. And now,
why would they go through? Why at this time would they go through all that expense? In other words, it seems like why would they go through this expense at this time? They've already shown it once.
Because it's the market is still huge and it can be exploited, Mike. So it hasn't.
But they already have approval for Botox.
Say that again, Mike.
They already have approval for Botox for wrinkles.
Right. But there are a lot of women that are unaware that it can help their crow's feet. A lot of women have crow's feet, but they don't have the lines between the brows because, the crow's feet are really the first wrinkles to appear on the face. So if the Allergan company can get those patients who are sitting there watching television at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night and open their eyes literally and figuratively to the fact that now they can get those wrinkles treated, they're going to have tens of millions of new customers around the world, and that is why. So it's so that they can advertise it on TV. That's the reason. It's plain and simple. It makes business sense for them to do that. It probably cost them $1 million to get that approval. But they'll make extra money.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, many more than a million. It probably costs them someplace around $20 million, Arthur.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, it's remarkable how much these things, and that's why initially they don't do that. They don't get the studies initially. They want to just get it on the market and get the off-label usage. It's the same thing with Rogaine, if you remember. The Rogaine advertisements are still for the crown, the top of the head, the vertex of the head, even though it works all over the scalp.
We're going to do the Real Age Tip of the Week now, Arthur.
Okay.
And this one we're going to have to be quick on. That persistent ringing, it's not your cell phone calling. Cell phones, we couldn't live without them. People have been using cell phones for at least, how long is that? How long have you been using your cell phone for? But at least 4 years, and who hasn't, for 10 minutes a day, who doesn't, are at risk for tinnitus, persistent ringing, whistling, chirping, hissing, or humming in your ears that may come and go or never stop. Ask your doc for a full tilt medical exam, since tinnitus sometimes signals other problems like jaw disorders. If not, mask the ringing with pleasant sounds, low music, white noise, tabletop fountains, even ambient noise from a hearing aid. The real age benefit of patrolling your own health, 12 years younger. Thanks for listening to You, the Owner's Manual on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.